Welcome to the South Elkhorn Christian Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the weekly messages. For bulletin material, reflection guides, and other resources, visit southelkhorncc.org.
Well, Holly, if that's how you do Chris's voice, I don't want to know how you do mine. But I'm grateful for you and grateful for an amazing church that is going to put on the story of Christ for our community. What a beautiful moment that will be. I'm looking forward to it. How does a weary world rejoice? How does a weary world rejoice? That phrase, weary world, placed incomprehensibly next to rejoice, comes from a lyric you might recognize, a lyric from the song, O Holy Night, a song perhaps you've heard in seasons past, in Christmas seasons past, a song that you will hear again on Christmas Eve. Thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. O fall on your knees, hear the angel voices, O night divine, the night when Christ was born. The night when Christ was born to a weary world. A world made weary by generations of trauma. Trauma from a people who had been conquered and exiled, dislocated and disconnected from their traditions, from each other, from the people they love. A world weary by the ongoing occupation of a new conquering people, the Imperial Rome. A world weary with the devastation of poverty and hardship that was widespread throughout the land. A people weary with loss, the grief of loss. A people weary with social stigma and cultural animosity between people groups. A world weary with the seemingly endless cycle of war and exploitation and oppression. A people weary with broken dreams and shattered hopes and struggles saturating every aspect of life. A people weary. And there, in a vulnerable child shivering in his peasant mother's arms, the world could rejoice. Dare I say, even now, the world can rejoice. How does a weary world rejoice? Well, you were invited into the story of Advent, as told in the Gospel of Luke, the story that is odd and wondrous and beautiful and mysterious, that invites us into the birth of the Christ child, that invites us to see how it might be that a weary world can indeed rejoice. Because God draws near to those worn down and those worn out, then and now. So this morning, let's begin our journey by beginning in the beginning of Luke. We're going to walk through each Sunday of Advent through a different portion of the Gospel of Luke leading up to the story of the birth of the Christ child. And you're invited this Sunday as we celebrate the candle of hope and we consider the question, how does a weary world rejoice, to enter the story as Luke tells it. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke chapter 1 as we read verses 1 through 23, or you can follow along on the screen as I read for us. And before doing so, I do want to just make note and just point out that I know that each and every one of us carries weariness. And I know that especially, as I've been listening and learning, there are those who carry weariness about this very season and the barrage of stories of miracle childbirth. I know there are people in this room, those we know and those we don't know, who have struggled with fertility, adoption, miscarriages, dreams of family that have not come true, who know what it is to go through the struggle and weariness of delay, disappointment, heartache, and heartbreak. And I recognize and I want to acknowledge this morning, that these stories can be hard and be difficult. And I want you to know that these stories are not about who deserves a miracle. They're about the fact that we all deserve God. And this morning, your weariness, whatever you're carrying, and especially if you're carrying weariness around these kinds of stories, I want you to know that your weariness belongs here, that we are a family of faith together, and that God belongs to us and meets us in our weariness. I pray God's love and peace be upon you this season as together we try to enter into this story and experience the message that God would have for us here and now. Let's read together these words in Luke chapter 1. Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord, but they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, by chance, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense, make an incense offering. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified, and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him the very first words of dialogue in the Gospels, "Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God with their spirit, with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur. Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondered at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and yet remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went to his home." The word of God for the people of God. Well, this weekend, I completed a 5K. I completed a five. Thank you. Yes, that is. I felt pretty proud of myself. I completed a 5K, got my medal, and quickly circled back around because though I had completed the race with one child, there were other children who needed my assistance. And so I was not done after this race that I had not prepared well for. And I quickly found my youngest child doing an amazing job more than halfway through the race, and I picked him up into my arms and put him on my shoulder, and we kept going. And he leaned over into my ear and he said, "Daddy, are we going super double fast?" And I said, "Probably not, but we're going." And as we kept going and my legs kept burning, he finally had the audacity to exclaim so that everyone that we were running with could hear, "Daddy, I'm tired." Weariness. Weariness. That's what I was feeling. The common definition of weariness that you and I know well, whether we've experienced it in body, soul, or mind, is exhaustion, fatigue, extreme tiredness, weariness. If you watch the news and listen to the headlines, weary, the endless cycles of war and atrocity and death and destruction. If you pay attention to life at all and you know the hardships of life, weary. If you grow at any age, weariness. If you don't prepare for a 5K, weariness. Exhaustion, fatigue, extreme tired. But there's another definition of weariness, one that I think is especially germane, relevant to the story we just read. Weariness is also defined as a reluctance to see or experience any more of something. If exhaustion is being worn down, then weariness can also be a kind of wearing out. A lack of imagination, a hardness of heart, the result of being just so depleted that you have nothing left to see the world in any other way, to experience difficulties in any other way. Being worn down and, yes, even being worn out. And I suspect the people of God and Zechariah himself knew what it was not only to be worn down, but to be worn out. This story is a beautiful story. It's a bewildering story. It's a story that is strange because in the Gospel of Luke, we don't begin with Jesus' family. We don't begin with the story of the birth of Christ. We begin with this other family and the story of that would lead up to the birth of John. We begin with a story in a time when people were feeling not only worn down, but maybe worn out, because it had been generations since a prophet had come declaring the word of the Lord. It had seemed like generations since the God who had made a covenant to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, who had been the people of God, had seemed to be at work doing a new thing among them. And so we need to pay attention when we hear the words, "in the time of King Herod." Because the prophets of old, when they recorded their oracles and words, were often announced with, "in the time of King so-and-so." The Gospel of Luke declares that perhaps another prophet is being raised up, that the God who has seemingly been silent for generations has seemingly, maybe, perhaps even abandoned the people of God to the weariness of the generations of trauma and difficulty they had experienced. Perhaps, maybe, this God was doing a new and faithful thing in the time of King Herod. And Zechariah is experiencing his own weariness, the weariness of broken dreams, of wanting a family, but finding the birth of a child a struggle and impossibility. I want to make note here that in the ancient world, the idea of a child not being born to a family was unfortunately placed squarely on the shoulders of a woman. That's why it says Elizabeth was barren. I want to be clear. It takes two to tango. And it is not the case that struggles with fertility are solely on the shoulders of a woman. We need to know that and acknowledge that. And yet at the time, that was the social stigma and pain that was on Elizabeth and Zechariah. It wasn't just about dashed dreams about having a family. It was also about financial and future security, because who would take care of them as they continued to age, their children, for which they had none? There was a sense of deep insecurity and dread. There was shame and stigma. There was also this unfortunate theological thing orbiting, at least among some, that perhaps they had done something wrong before God to deserve this. That's not true then. It's not true now. And yet it is part of the pain of this circumstance they are bearing. And they have prayed and prayed and prayed, and their prayers have not been fulfilled. And perhaps they, symbolic of the very people of God for whom they're called to serve, they are part of this priestly generation, this priestly descendants. They've come from priests of the past, and they kind of represent this idea of God's faithfulness and covenant and connection and community. They perhaps represent the people of God who feel as if God has abandoned them. There is nothing but weariness. They are left alone to their weariness, worn down to the point of maybe being worn out. And I think we see that in the story. When there's Zechariah, who's been chosen by Lot, is there in the Holy of Holies. You have to understand there are more priests at the time than possibly serve in the temple. And so they take shifts. Priests in the countryside would come in for an appointed 2-week period, and they would do a shift. And then those who had not yet had the opportunity to serve in the Holy of Holies would get an opportunity, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to do so. And Zechariah had that opportunity. He goes into the Holy of Holies, a place you are not supposed to tarry and delay. And perhaps before he even finishes the incense offering, we're not told that. All we know is that he has an experience. Perhaps an experience he never, I would suggest, entirely never expected to happen. And perhaps an experience that had been disconnected from coming to the temple, that had been disconnected from being a priest and feeling like he was just empty going through the ritual motions. Because where was God? Where was God for the people of God? Where was God for him? And there in that moment, God shows up in an unexpected way. And Zechariah doesn't know what to do. How am I supposed to know this is so? He asks a question of certainty, of knowledge, of how am I supposed to know this is true? I don't get it. How can this be? He has a failure of imagination. One we can understand. One I know I can understand. One we can all understand, because it's one thing to be worn down. It's another thing to be worn out and be reluctant to experience or see anything new. And so I want to suggest that perhaps God and the angel Gabriel are not punishing Zechariah with muteness because he struggled to be able to imagine how God could do this thing. I suspect this is an invitation to heal, an invitation to be silent before the wonder and mystery of God and to get real with the weariness that he was carrying. And discover again, when he had no words to distract himself, no words to magically say anything, no words to even communicate to the people he cares about and the people he's supposed to bless, when he leaves the Holy of Holies, without those words, he's left just there with himself and the Spirit of God to trust again that maybe, just maybe, something new might be made out of his weariness. That God indeed had not abandoned him. That God had not abandoned the people of God. That God was up to something bewildering and beautiful and new, even if it was nothing like what he had expected. Because the story he got from Gabriel was not just this simple little happy family, but no, he was going to be birthing a prophet. He and Elizabeth were going to be raising a prophet who would have a hard and difficult life, declaring the presence of God to people who needed to know that God had not given up on them. This was not the life, the family that he expected, and if we read on into Scripture, we'll see it's not the life that brought them the comfort and security they had hoped for. God was doing a new thing, a different thing, a difficult thing, and yet a beautiful thing. And maybe Zechariah just needed time to be quiet and to realize that he wasn't in control of his life and that something different could take place. Maybe the silence wasn't a punishment. Maybe it was an invitation to heal. So Zechariah leaves the temple and does this wonderful charades game with the people who are waiting there, who are like, man, this guy's taking a long time. You're not supposed to tarry. And yet when he comes out, they can tell something's different. And I like to imagine, I can't really imagine the kind of charades he's trying to do for them to explain that he's seen the angel Gabriel, that he's going to have a child, that something new is taking place, that this child will bring about a new era, a new way, a new sense of who God is. How do you gesture that? Probably not well. But in the very attempt to do so, people see something in him has shifted and changed. And they sense that he has seen a vision. that where once he may have been a priest going through through the motions, now he has experienced what worship can do when you receive the presence of God. Make us new. And so he goes home. And so he goes home. And the story continues. I don't know what weariness you are carrying this Advent season, but I want you to know this. These stories are not about who gets a miracle. These stories are about who gets God. And who gets God are those who are worn down and worn out. This story is about acknowledging and getting real with our weariness so that God can meet us in our weariness and invite us into something new that may take time and which may not be entirely clear to us, but invites our hearts to open up and our minds to open up and our imaginations to flourish so we can trust that God has not abandoned us, but God belongs to us and we belong to God. So I don't know all that you're going through or will go through this Advent season, but I do know if you're weary, I want you to know that you're not alone. And God is drawing near to you. I do know that it is still possible to rejoice, that weariness and joy can go together because we can rejoice in the one who is still making all things new, even if we aren't sure yet what that new thing is. And as some of you know, I know a little better what that's like this week. Over the course of this week, Rebecca and I acknowledged an important reality in our life. We shared the news with our kids, with family, with friends, with church leaders and others, and now with you that we are ending our marriage. We wanted to name that difficult decision with our church family, trusting that the love we have experienced here from the very beginning, the love of God and the love of each of you, will now strengthen us as Rebecca and I seek to bless each other, love and raise our kids together, and begin a new chapter as a family in a different way. And acknowledging what is real at the right time and in the right way can still be so incredibly difficult. And yet I believe it is there that God draws near to us, as God has done time and time again, to begin something new. God shows us there is still something and someone to rejoice over, that God belongs to us and that we belong to God and that we belong to each other as church. Just as God drew near to Zechariah in the Holy of Holies, wearied from broken dreams and being a part of a broken and wearied generation, so too God draws near to us. And the broken dreams and the hardships and the difficulties that we carry as individuals and as a people, because we belong to God and God belongs to us. And in the mystery of God's way, God does something new. God brings healing and wholeness and life and love. Hope in a weary world, rejoicing for a weary world, something new and something beautiful that maybe we don't fully understand or recognize just yet. But the Advent season is about waiting with great anticipation for what God has done and still will yet do with each of us, with all of us, through us, with us, and for us. So my son said, "I'm tired." And I'm thinking, you've got some audacity, kid. Daddy's legs are burning. And we were running right by our car, just a few feet away to the parking lot. And I kid you not, he says, "Let's go home." And for a half second, I'm thinking, that's a pretty good idea. And then I said, "Hey, guess what? Daddy's tired too. And in a little bit, I'm going to let you down. And can you help Daddy across the finish line? Even though we're tired, we can be tired together. And we can still finish this race." And he looked down at me and he said, "Okay, Dad, but not super double fast." So as we entered the chute there where people were cheering us on, I put down the little guy and grabbed his hand. And together we did our very best to limp across that finish line. And then we celebrated. Because even though we were tired and we were weary, we could be that together. And we could do something together that maybe we didn't believe we could do. Because we belong to each other. Because we belong to God. And because God belongs to us. How does a weary world rejoice? It rejoices because we're allowed to be weary. And God shows up and meets those who are worn down and worn out. Thanks be to God.
Thanks for listening to the message this week. Visit southelkhorncc.org, where you can download reflection and discussion guides to dig deeper into the weekly scripture and message.